Yo,
give me 1 second. I got to change a thing.
Okay. That's not a problem.
No, it's fine.
I don't mind.
Okay. We're here.
I'm going to back up a little bit so I'm not such a big face.
Why?
In the middle of a ghost face.
Why? Because we're live. The podcast is live tweet.
Oh.
I had to send it. Look. Hey, look in the chat. Look who's here. Mick Arcade.
Mick Arcade. Oh my gosh, some of my favorite people.
Our friends.
My arcade. There it goes. Okay. I meant my chat. I was like waiting for my chat feed to catch up.
Well, you know what? I guess it's caught up now. Like I gotta wiggle my hat around. I don't like it right in the front. I wanna sort of wiggle it a little bit. What do you think? Like,
I don't know. I wear mine on the front normally, I think.
What do you say? I sort of like it to the right?
That's fine. Do you, man.
Cool?
Wear it how you like to wear it.
Let me get it.
It's your goddamn hat, bro.
I just want it to be cool.
Am I too close? Am I too close to the mic tonight? Am I too close?
What do I like? No,
I was asking.
No.
What do you like? I don't know. What do you like?
This is the way I wanted it.
Okay. Chill the fuck out, man.
This is the second time today I've seen you.
I know. We hung out today. We did a Magic Boy thing.
We did a Magic Boy thing.
I don't mean like Magic Brothers.
How are you feeling?
I'm great.
How's life?
It's fine.
I'm very washed out today.
See that?
Let me reduce this.
Take some of those light down off of your really bright body. Your pale ghost body.
Is that a little better?
It's super.
Thanks, Mick. Mick says, I am wearing the shit out of this hat. Mick, do you agree that it should be left, right, or center? Where should it be? I'm going to need your input right now. Chat, I need your input to know where I'm going to put my hat. Not up my ass.
Too late.
Well, it's good to see you again, buddy. I had a good time today. We did some fun stuff today.
We did do some fun stuff. We got bro tattoos.
We did get bro tattoos. What do we get?
Well, in honor of our broliness and this sweet podcast, we got Doom tattoos.
Right, that's right. Mick is saying, if you feel sassy, he wants it to the right. He can't even talk if he's sassy. He wants it to the left.
I don't know. I don't know what.
If he's cool,
side
he wants
on.
It to the left.
I don't.
Center. If he's letting motherfuckers know what's up, it's center. And this is what's up. Do you want to show off our tattoos?
Sure. Let's see if we can get them up.
You want to see how much gross blood is like just pooling in mine at the moment?
Yeah, me too.
Okay, let's check it out. Guys, hey, Traveler Fox, you're going to see some blood. I'm just letting you guys know.
Check it out.
Okay, here we go.
Oh God, my whole background's freaking out. I gotta move my mic. Look at all that blood.
Ew.
Is it coming out? Is it coming out yet?
No, it's just pooling.
It's not, it's inside. It's still inside.
It's just pooling.
Yours is pooling worse than mine.
I know.
Hey bro, that's a good looking tattoo.
Hey, so is yours.
Thanks.
We're bros of tats.
We're cool tat bros.
Okay, I gotta get down though. Give me a second. My body hurts. And then also I gotta point out, talk about my socks.
Yeah, what the fuck is with those socks?
These fucking socks?
I stared at those socks for 2 hours while you were getting that done.
Let me tell you a secret about these socks. They're my mother-in-law's socks that she gave to my wife. Wearing them.
You're wearing your wife's socks. You know what? That's cool. Sometimes I wear my fiance's panties. I mean, sometimes I don't judge me.
Hey, if that's what goes for you, that's cool. Nobody's judging. Thanks for the compliments on our bro ink.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. I know I do. Hold on, I'm opening my beer.
Let's do it together. You ready? One.
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, I already did. Just my normal Corona premiere. Cheers.
Corvus cheers. A COVID cheers.
Mick, don't worry. It's not my kink anyway. I was making a bad taste joke. Look, I'll tell you if something's my kink because I don't care.
He's like that. Bob's like that. I'll tell you what.
I'm open like that. I don't give a crap.
He doesn't give a shit. If you judge Bob about his kink, you're going to get fucked.
Wait, no, that's what happens if you don't judge me about my
Okay. Oh, Chantelle Sore, what's
hey,
going on?
Also, this is not a kid-friendly episode.
It's not. So it's cool. No, I think Chantelle's fine with that. She'll come in here and she'll say,
I don't,
oh, goodness. and then call somebody a twat. And that
then
right
talk
there,
14-inch dicks.
That right there is my jam. Hey guys, so how are you tonight? I'm glad you popped by for a little bit while we talk about our bro ink and also our crushing existential dread and also Ghostbusters.
Definitely the crushing existential dread, though, man. I'm so worried. I'm so worried about November. Can I? Like,
that's all right.
And no, that's it. That's the only thing I'm going
to
say.
That's all you got to say. Okay, that's cool. Well, we're on to that. Now drink heavily.
Cheers.
I didn't drink heavily. I just had a splash of beer to quench my... I'm also drinking a smoothie.
It's a green smoothie. What kind of... Is it a naked smoothie?
It is a naked smoothie because it lasts a long time in the
green machine?
Yep,
green machine,
baby.
Is the best.
Chantelle Sword, there's not too many times in life that I can say that's why it was an accident. But we were playing games the other day and she said, "Oh goodness, that twat killed me."
Dude, okay. So can we talk about
it? Was the "oh goodness" that I think got me juxtaposed beside the twat.
So we got our tattoos done today. And actually, I think they were probably a total of about 45 minutes apiece.
Yeah, they weren't long. They weren't long. Mine looks way better because he practiced on you. So
yeah, exactly. He was trying to copy mine. He tried to copy the work that he did on mine. And he was like, "I'm cheating and looking at the work that I did on yours."
No, they both look good, though. I was actually asking him. So anybody out there in the chat knows that I am not too knowledgeable tattoo person. I know Traveler Fox has some. I know Mick Arcade has some. I know Chantelle Sore has some. Wolf, I don't know if you have any. Tega, I think you have some, right? Do you have one? Does Tega have one? I can't remember. I only have one.
Oh,
so, like,
God, we're shit friends for not remembering whether our friend has a tattoo.
I don't know. They don't know if I do.
Shit friends.
Because
you just told them all. It was the point of the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
Everybody knows you have a tattoo.
Well, like,
let's get one.
I asked the guy who's doing the tattoo, as he was just carving it into my body with a blade of a knife, and spitting on it to clear it out. Like, that's how you do tattoos. I was asking him, I was like, "Does skin take ink differently?" And he just stopped and looked at me and he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Cool." It was when you had gone
does
to the bathroom.
Take ink differently than what?
Well, like, as in, like, does different skin take it? Like, so does your skin accept a color differently than mine will? Right. Uh-huh. And I honestly don't know. And I didn't know if, like, because I'm a pale boy, I didn't know if, like, my...
That's why yours is actually, I think, a little more vibrant looking than mine.
Gotcha.
Like, if you look at the two of them together, yours looks slightly more vibrant. Because I have more tannish skin. I have heard also, though, in tattoos, there's always been this sort of, like, misnomer that people of color, especially black people, take tattoos less well than white skin, and that's not true. You just have to pick the right inks for it. So if you are a black person who goes to a tattoo artist and they say, "Look, black skin just doesn't take ink well," go to a different fucking tattoo artist.
Really?
Because they're lying. Yeah.
Really?
No, beautiful, bright, vibrant colors. Like you know how my skin doesn't take whites and it doesn't take yellows well?
Yeah.
On black people.
Can you watch out for what you're about to say, because that's about to come across real weird.
Sorry.
My skin that doesn't take whites or yellows well?
Oh, no. I meant white inks or yellow inks. Like, white ink fades out on me really fast.
And Mick Arcade just said, he said, "Yeah, if that happens, you know, get a new artist." And Traveler Fox said, "Hey, you know what? We can just think about the end of the world," and it's oddly comforting. You're right. Every day I wake up thinking about what could possibly be my last day, and this is getting real fucked up, so I'm just going to drink. No.
Yeah. So how was your past 2 weeks?
Oh, God, terrible.
We're recording these in blocks.
Fucking awful.
Oh, bro, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Look, I'm coming to terms with the fact, and I'll always put this out there because I don't give a shit who... not liking my job right now, not liking bullshit. So... I'm actively looking for another job, and if something comes up and somebody's like, "Oh, we heard on your very publicized podcast you were looking for another job," I'd be like, "Yep, right there. I definitely am.
My very publicized podcast." Hey, guys, so you know, this is a very publicized podcast with a hot listenership of
anywhere
30,
between
30?
7 to 13 live people on a regular basis.
I saw what you're saying about the tattoo, and you're right. Your next one, you'll get a much better tattoo. Screw it.
Between the two of us today,
uh-huh,
who do you think took the tattoo better in the moment?
I don't think you... I think you complained once and I complained maybe once. I don't know. It was a tie.
I was trying real hard. Like when you seeing like, cause you were like, ooh, this, and I didn't know if it was like good composure or not.
Yeah.
To like act like you're not in pain for your tattoo.
Oh yeah.
To be like,
oh yeah.
So like when you were like, when you said to him, when you were like, oh, that's a little, and I was like, okay.
Oh no, Tony and I have a running joke. He knows that I'm a real big old fucking baby about tattoos. I sit well, but I don't I complain about the pain the whole time. Today was the least pain that I complained about.
Mick says, hard asses, that fucking sucks.
One of my easier ones.
Hi, Isabel, by the way. It's nice to see you. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Isabel. This is our podcast where we talk about pop culture things.
And bad books.
Oh, hey, you know what we didn't do?
What's that?
Hey, I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club podcast.
Do you think one day we're going to get out of quarantine, or do you think we're quarantining bad book? Like,
dude, this podcast is going to go on forever. Because it's already way more successful than our last one.
Do you think eventually we'll have to change the meaning of the name to like, we're going to quarantine these bad books? Because this week,
no,
we're quarantining this piece of shit.
Oh my God.
I immediately, like right on Twitter, I was like, yo, this book sucked. Like, I'm not even hiding it. Get out of here. Hey, what's going on there, Hidden Fox Gaming? How are you? Mick got his nipple tattoo.
Mick
got his mip tattooed.
Mick also says that he uses numbing cream. I actually have used
let's go
stuff because here's the thing. I've got enough ink on my body. I don't need to prove how tough a man I am anymore.
Yeah, I do.
So just like give me the secret juice that makes it not hurt as much.
Oh, there is an aftertaste, man. There is an aftertaste. Tastes like grass.
Nice. Nice.
No, I'm the same way. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care if something.
Yeah. Like I don't have anything to prove to anybody.
But I will say there are times where I can, I'm quite surprised at myself. I can take pain better than I thought. Like, people always get scared about root canals. Don't bother me at all.
I don't give a shit about the dentist.
I'll fall asleep. I'll fall asleep getting a root canal. Mm-hmm. I hate the process of like getting x-rays. It gags me. But a root canal, as long as it smells like Doritos in the air for my burning teeth, I'll go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Thank you for them bits.
I don't know. I'm thanking. It's your channel.
It's okay. You can thank too. So let's get into some stuff.
Do we have to?
I don't want to.
Okay, guys. We read Ghostbusters 1 and 2 novelizations, the audiobook versions that are on Amazon. Who was it by?
Larry Milne.
Mm-hmm. I want to say I want to start with a good thing about these audiobooks.
Okay.
I think that the narrator does a great job of some of the voices.
What fucking books did you read?
He does a great Lewis Tully, dude.
He does a great
Lewis Tully.
He does a great everything is Casey Kasem. That's what he fucking does.
I felt like he was awesome at Lewis. Like he watched the movies and tried. I don't say he was great at everything, but I do see what you're saying.
Dude.
Also, let's be honest, I listened to the last 2 hours of Ghostbusters 2 at 2x speed. I retained about
nothing.
5 minutes of the last 2 hours of Ghostbusters 2.
Get into details. The one thing I'm going to give Larry Milne for as the author is that
he watched the movies. I think he read the scripts. And the reason I think he read the scripts is a thing that I'll get into in a little bit later.
I think we have another Audible friend because Isabel says the 2x speed feature on things is amazing.
Normally, I don't like it. Normally, I want my audiobook to last as long as it was intended. But when when I'm doing a book for this podcast and
it's utter shit.
Yeah, my cat's over in the corner.
That's
hiding,
fine.
I think.
Hello, cat. I got mine in my lap right now. So this is.
I hope he's not pooping in the corner.
He might be. If so, I'm gonna join him.
Oh, is it, you're going to poop on this book in the corner?
I would 100% poop on it.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's split this. First of all, so I can get peek behind the curtain here. So I can get 2 weeks worth of episodes out of this.
Yeah.
Let's spend the first 45 minutes talking about Ghostbusters 1. And then we will spend the second 45 minutes, if we can, talking about Ghostbusters 2.
Here's the thing I got to say to you.
Or not. And we'll just do next week. We'll do a show next week.
We're going to watch a few videos, by the way. Like, I have a few videos I want us to watch, but I need to put my hand to God. Something happened this week that has never happened before with the quarantine book club, and I have to admit it. So chat knows, and that you know. I didn't finish the books.
Bro.
Don't get mad at me.
Bro.
Don't get mad at me.
Bro. I sat...
I'm going to tell you why.
Hours of this utter garbage, this utter sexist, misogynistic bullshit. And suffering the whole time. And I sat through the audiobook of Ghostbusters 2, which, I'll be honest with you, man.
Dude.
Ghostbusters 2 is a lot less gross and disgusting than Ghostbusters 1. Because let me say this to you about it.
Like, there's comments. Isabella said, ooh, awkward silence. And of course, Arsenic comes in and calls me a monster.
I don't like Ghostbusters anymore.
See, that's my problem. That's my problem. That's why I stopped. Mm-hmm. So I identify the Ghostbusters as we know it, right, as a movie. The Ghostbusters is a product of a time. And I don't like saying that often because I believe that everything needs to date and change depending upon the era in which we read it and the era in which it's, right? Mm-hmm. But I do identify Ghostbusters as a product of its time. The mid-80s. There is a lot of suggested grossness in it. But it is something that I've been talking to my wife about lately, which is the idea that so much of the time we've lost a sense of subtlety in our movies nowadays. And you and I have talked about this lately too, with the blood on the helmet thing with Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
That we are no longer trusted to make presumptions, observations, and assumptions about what characters think and feel based on the action in a movie because we're told everything. If you look at movies from the 80s and now, there is a vast difference. There's a vast difference in the narrative confidence in the 80s and now, and there's almost no narrative confidence. Mm-hmm. That was present in Ghostbusters. This book does what bad books do, which is it goes way too deep into that psychological exhibitionism and tells me why people are feeling the way they are and why they are, trigger warning, basically about to rape this girl.
You know what's funny, man? I actually found that some of the background material on some of the characters was a little bit of the reasons why I didn't stop listening to the book.
Go ahead.
They filled in some background characters. I gotta say this, man. It made me think a lot about Ghostbusters, and that I've watched it in the past like 2 years, and something wasn't sitting right with me the last time I watched it. And watching it now, or listening to these audiobooks now, I fucking hate Peter Venkman. He's a piece of shit. He's a fucking piece of shit, and he's the most disgusting, gross, sexist character. Like, he's a weird raper guy.
But do you think that that's something that the book made you think more powerfully about? Like, have you always felt that? Because I don't think you've always felt that.
No, I haven't. It's because my viewpoint has changed.
Okay.
And my understanding of the movie and the content has changed. And Ghostbusters now in 2020 is not what it was in 1984.
When was the last time you watched the movie?
About 2 years. Ghostbusters 2, I watched when it came out in the theaters.
Hey, you and me both. It's one of the first movies I remember seeing in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last time I watched
That and Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The first two movies I remember seeing in the movie theater. Actually, Masters of the Universe also was.
Masters of the Universe was, I think, the first. No, sorry. Tron and Snow White are the first movies I remember seeing in theaters. Then closely followed by Return of the Jedi.
I think there is a subtle creepiness in Venkman in the.
I don't think it's that subtle. I actually don't. I think that it's like listening to this.
Yeah.
Actually, really made me point out just how gross and forceful he is with Dana as like pursuing her.
Yes,
he's really gross.
I agree, and that was so. So I will say, I ended. We're gonna read something from it in a little. I stopped actively reading chapter 11. I finished the first book. I finished Ghostbusters through to chapter 15. I finished it. But that was when I checked out, because the moment where he and if you've seen the movies, you have read the book. The books are so close to the movies, which is great. But it also mm-hmm. suggests that you don't need the books, I think.
Yeah.
The moment where he goes in and he finds Dana possessed mm-hmm. is so much creepier and gross in the novel.
Really?
Yes. And from the second to the beginning of the second chapter, he's talking about breasts. Yeah, like Venkman is talking about. He's constantly looking at girls' boobs.
Well, we also find out that Venkman has a history of screwing over his friends. He banged Ray's sister.
Yeah.
He banged Ray's sister and broke Ray's family up.
Which that's weird. Like, that comes out of nowhere,
yeah.
right?
Like, yeah, and it's like Venkman's such a shit person that he banged his best friend's sister and ruined his family.
Was also, can we talk about really quick? Also, I like the fact that somebody, Sanchelli just said in the chat that Jurassic Park is the first movie. Uh-huh. I remember seeing that with my best friends. I was like 9 years old, and I remember seeing that. No, I was probably older than that. I remember seeing that with my best friend, and it was one of the scariest things I'd ever seen. Venkman sucks. Was Ray Sands smoking pot at one point in the second Ghostbusters 2? He has a pipe, which...
No, he's not. He's not. He's just smoking some old gross stuff.
Because in the book, it's described like he's sort of light of mind, and he's smoking something that smells like an old gym bag. And I'm like, yo,
I just thought they meant, you know, it's so funny.
My man's smoking some weed.
I am such an idiot that I didn't even realize that. I don't have a problem with that
right,
in a Ghostbusters
right.
movie. Like,
but it's not exactly a thing that I think of it. I do remember his cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Oh my god, like, yes. There's visuals and things about Ghostbusters that I love so much that it's hard to give up some of the mindset that is Ghostbusters, but like, man, dude, I didn't, coming back to it and thinking about how problematic Ghostbusters for a guy who a person who watched it when they were 7 years old for the first time.
You old fuck.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fucking sex in that movie.
A ton.
There's a ton of sexual references.
When Ray Stantz just gets blown by a ghost,
which,
his 14-incher just gets mouth hammered by a ghost. He just gets tongue leveled by that ghost. He just gets fucking cheek banged by that ghost. He gets tooth sharked by that ghost.
The ghost.
No, he gets
blown. Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
He cheek bangs the ghost. He doesn't get cheek banged.
That ghost was calling the shots, whatever it is.
Okay, well, that's fine. Also, that's different than in the movie. Like, in the movie, they changed some things from the movie,
yeah.
which is why I think this is based off the original scripts or earlier versions. So we start out Ghostbusters 1, the book, with two homeless people.
I was
now. So the two homeless people are actually, as I recall, originally a filmed part of the movie that got cut because it was Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd,
yeah,
playing different characters, as was like want in some of those type of like in a Klump-esque type move, like, you know, and they just kind of went, the producers went, this doesn't read well. Why are the two main characters these other characters?
Well, that's also something that I will say that I valued about the original Ghostbusters film is I actually think outside of its real weird rapiness, mm-hmm. Is written very cleverly as both a comedic and dramatic film. I think mm-hmm. the clever pseudosciences that are present in it are really convincing and well researched. Mm-hmm. For what they are, I think the roles that the characters play as psychologists, as scientists, I think are really well implemented in a movie that was written by, for the most part, comedic-minded fellows.
Uh-huh.
Trying to go for something that was a little more serious. I want to catch up on the chat.
Yeah.
Our friend Traveler Fox is going to get more creative work done by Traveler Fox. Arsenic says, yes, he was asleep. That ghost assaulted him. But you know Ray Stantz, that man... He didn't say no.
Yeah, yeah.
Good night, Chantelly Sore.
It's hard because and they also do the weird montages that happen in Ghostbusters. Like,
yes,
they talk through the montages in this book in a really weird sort of like, and then this happened, and on this street this happened, and on this street this happened. I don't need the montages. You can just honestly tell me, like, hey, ghost shit was going crazy.
There's some ghost shit going down. That's what I need Casey Kasem to come on and say. Ghost shit's going down in New York. Now, this is your favorite, number two, on Casey Kasem's Best in New York. I'm going to be, my children are basically going to steal all my money, and my spouse is going to hide me away from everybody else. This is Casey Kasem. Watching out for the busters of the ghosts. Oh yeah, he's dead. There was a lot of controversy around his last few years of his life too.
Do you think he's a ghost? Oh. Do you think Casey Kasem was a ghost?
That was what I was thinking when this guy was narrating it. He sounded like Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that because I didn't think he did. Like I didn't mind him as a narrator. And that's cool. We can disagree on that. That's fine.
He sucked. He was a terrible narrator. Fucking telling you right now. He was boring. He did absolutely nothing. I thought he went in no way, shape, or form outside of his box to try to separate any of those characters vocally or emotionally from one another.
But when somebody hands you this effing content, do you just go, hey, maybe it's just a job this time? It's just a job.
100%. Because he and I actually
think
that
he... No, I don't think he did mail it in. He had different voices for every character.
Sucks. No, he didn't. He absolutely didn't. All the Ghostbusters sound the same.
I specifically heard different voices for the different Ghostbusters.
There is a moment specifically. It is chapter 5. Look, even though I didn't finish it, I have got my shit.
It's fine,
there's,
man.
It's chapter 5 of Ghostbusters 2, because, well, I did say I did jump through Ghostbusters 2. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5.
I don't know why I bothered.
Venkman and Stance are talking back and forth. It's the first time they've seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
Can't fucking tell the difference. Either one of them. I was like, who are these two people?
Maybe you should listen harder, bro.
Isabel in the chat says, I didn't realize Ghostbusters was like that. And you know what? I think, Isabel, it might be worth another look, right? Maybe your perspective is different. I will feel like after, I was disgusted by the book enough to put it down because I decided I finished no bad book. Finish no bad books.
Bro, that's what we fucking do here, man.
This was unenjoyably. I finished the Doom books and the Doom books.
I know. Right? Are you saying finish no problematic book? Is that what you mean? Like, as far as like, if it goes off the deep end to a point where it's unacceptably immoral.
Yes.
And that's different than
this
bad book.
Almost like the World of Gore level. Bad to me.
Okay.
The fantasy world gore. I forget.
It doesn't matter. It's trash. It's fucking trash.
It gets to that point fantasy. Where, so when Dana's possessed and I want to read it in just a little bit, the part where Dana's possessed and Venkman is deciding whether or not to have sex with her and uses the phrase, well, maybe I could just borrow your body. Like, what the fuck?
I feel maybe that comes through a lot worse in this than it does in the movie, perhaps, because I feel like the moment
borrow your body for a little bit of my splat.
I think that in the movie it definitely comes across very much like when he gets in there, Venkman will he'll bang a girl, he'll lie to get in bed with him, which, let's be honest, is sexual assault. Let's not fool ourselves there. Lying to get into bed with somebody is sexual assault.
Venkman is a bad boy.
But if you're going on a scale of sexual assault, it is very clear that he has no intent of taking advantage of Dana in the movie.
Absolutely. When, he recognizes instantaneously that she is not of her own agency at that moment.
Yeah.
He questions that in this.
Yeah.
And that was where I mentally shut down. I was like, you know what? I fucking hate this. Like, I don't just think it's bad. I fucking hate it. And I don't think I've felt that viscerally angry about a book that we've read.
And I can appreciate that. Yes. I found some of what's really funny is I definitely found that some of the problems in this, it's honestly 90% of it is Venkman. 90% of the problems in this book come from Peter Venkman. When I was listening to it, I was like, you know what? I hate Peter Venkman as a person, and I don't think that he should be the protagonist of a story.
Yeah, it's almost like a badly designed redemption arc that never gets redeemed, and I also don't know if I can really redeem him.
And the one thing that I'll say that the book did do for me was I liked Venkman's backstory. It was the one thing that made him human and made me not go, oh, what a gross scumbag. He was a carny. And it was like, he's like, you find out that he's actually a con man.
Yeah.
Like he grew up a con man and said to his dad, I don't want to be this anymore. I want to go to college. And his dad's like, what do you want to go to college for? And he's like, when I find out, you'll be the first one to know.
And it's suggested from the beginning of chapter two that he identifies psychology as.
Yes, which is gross.
And that's why he is a psychological scientist or whatever you would. I mean, like,
paranormal psychologist.
Yeah, I forget what the fuck it's called. It's his way to establish control and advantage over.
And it's I will say what's funny about it is Ghostbusters 2 doesn't go into anywhere near as much detail about these terrible things. And in the book of Ghostbusters 2, Venkman is not as despicable. He's just more of a gross slob.
Can I ask, as someone who didn't finish, did they make the Statue of Liberty?
With a home video game controller. They don't effing say that it's the NES Advantage, which is the most important part of the whole.
Hello, I'm Casey Kasem.
They used a video game controller.
They used a video game controller, and Venkman looked at that girl and definitely undressed her with.
What, the Statue of Liberty or Dana?
I mean, there are the fifth paragraph of this mentions breasts. It's not even about characters.
It's not great.
It's not even about characters. It's just about boobs. And Corporal Fly, I'm right there with you. Ghostbusters video game is the one true sequel to Ghostbusters 2. I liked the video game a lot.
I still haven't watched. Okay, first of all, I haven't watched Answer the Call, not because I'm like mad about it being women, just because I heard it wasn't a great
movie. Oh, wait, the new Ghostbusters?
The all women Ghostbusters.
I'm not going to pull an AVGN and say it's garbage because it's all girls. No, fuck that. It's just a bad movie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I heard it was a bad movie.
Melissa McCarthy. I love the actresses that are in it. I thought they did great. The movie itself, just bad. Okay. Like, it's just a bad
movie.
And
that's what I heard. And, I just didn't watch it. Not because, and to be honest with you, Ms. Aunt Babo and I have been talking about watching that movie since we met.
Okay. It lacks a lot of the dramatic stuff that I thought Ghostbusters had. It also lacks a lot of the pseudoscience. It turns it into fantasy science in a way.
You know what's funny is I might actually go back though, like knowing how much now.
There's a lot of fart jokes in it, and that's weird to me. Like Ghostbusters were above the fart jokes.
But you know what, man? Ghostbusters weren't above weird rape jokes. So like maybe
100% absolutely valid.
So maybe I can go back and watch this Ghostbusters and go, oh, you know what? I can enjoy this for a thing that doesn't piss me off.
Secret. Still plenty of objectification in it, though.
Don't they objectify Chris
Hemsworth? But that's fine.
I objectify him too. Yeah. That's fine.
Yes, couldn't get past the concert scene in the new Ghostbusters. I know exactly what Corporal Fly is talking about. And it's fucking terrible.
All I want to see is Finn Wolfhard drive a Ghostbusters vehicle through a cornfield.
Maybe
let me drive an Ecto-1A through a cornfield.
Also, that Stranger Things plane has landed and gone straight off the other end of the thing. So hopefully their careers really blossom into other amazing
things.
What
do you mean? Wait, what do you mean the Stranger Things?
I don't know. I think Stranger Things is been and gone.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, but I think it's been and gone. I think it's done. I didn't even finish season three. I was done.
Okay,
season three
was a little bit weak, but I think you should keep up with it.
When we're sneaking around in our Chips Ahoy gear or whatever it is in a Russian military base. I can't even put this on my tongue and accept it.
Okay, come on. Let's watch some Steve doing Steve things because that's the reason that you come to Stranger Things now. I don't need the never ending story part. Everybody that lost their fucking mind over the never ending story. Let me tell you something. Who gives a shit about never ending story?
Hot takes.
I'm going to tell you all right now, I'm piss every one of you off in the chat that's listening to this movie or listening to this podcast. Fuck Neverending Story. I don't like it. I've never liked it. That fucking dog thing that everybody rides, it looks stupid. You know
that
what?
That was my favorite.
That horse drowns and is sad forever.
Arsenic said she's going to fight you, Bob.
That's fine. We can fight.
We're going to fight.
It's a stupid movie.
I watched
Labyrinth's better.
Speaking of Labyrinth is better in the sense that David Bowie's junk is huge.
It's on display for everyone to see, children and adults alike.
Tega is going to fight you in the parking lot, by the way, and you know she can kick the living fuck out of you. So.
I know. I don't. I mean, I'll take my ass whooping. It's fine.
Damn, California Faded rolling in. Hello, California Faded, with 100% with agree with Bob on the never ending story.
That's going to be some hot takes in here, and I'm sorry, but like. Bam. Whatever. So, it's cool. Like what you like. If you like it, that's awesome. I'm glad that you like it.
I'll give you a hot take, but I watched, we're getting away from Ghostbusters for a second because I got to cleanse my mind. I watched Real Steel starring Hugh Jackman last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hot movie. Hot movie.
I want to watch it. I've never seen it.
Nope. You go into that movie the way you go into Snakes on a Plane. Okay. You know, this movie is Real Steel and it's about fucking fighting robots. And it's literally an excuse to see a ripped ass Hugh Jackman shadowbox with the air.
Does Hugh Jackman look hot?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
That's all I need out of that movie. Any giant robots and Hugh Jackman.
But there's actually some spectacular cinematography in it. Uh-huh. The first scene there's a scene where he's sitting in a truck that he's driving. He drives up to a carnival's happy, right? Thing in the, like, looking like the fucking saddest person world with the reflection of the carnival in the windshield. And I just wanted to cry. It was beautiful cinematography. But this movie's called Real Steel, and it's the worst fucking part of it is that it's called Real Steel. So accept that. There's a dumb kid in it who does dumb kid things, but you gotta accept his part.
God.
But you accept it as part of the movie, okay? Just like you accept the shitty kid in Last Action Hero.
But Danny's like the whole movie in Last Action Hero.
And the kid
and Charles dance.
The kid is the whole movie in this.
Yeah, Arnold is honestly like secondary in Last Action Hero. It's not even really an Arnold movie. It's Charles Dance and that little kid. And like, whatever, it's great.
Can I? The beginning of Ghostbusters, the novelization.
Oh man, fucking do it, please. Because you know what, this movie, let me tell you real quick, everybody in the audience, we're doing this so you don't fucking have to. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your Audible credit. Don't. Just watch the fucking movies, first of all. And if you got to watch, keep in mind that they're made in the 80s, that they're of their time. I mean, let's face it, it's not like Revenge of the Nerds where there's an actual rape in that movie.
Yeah.
Wolf,
I loved Real Steel. I'm just telling you, I loved it.
There's close to it. And there are two characters in this movie, in Ghostbusters. We should remember, there are two people in Ghostbusters who, outside of their own will, because they are both possessed, have sex with each other. Like, that doesn't make that any better.
Right, right, right.
That's gross.
This commits every sin the beginning of a book should. The beginning of a bad book should. You ready? Chapter
one.
Yeah,
do it for me.
Okay, let me put on some hot... I want to make sure we got some scary music in the back. Got some scary tunes. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful Manhattan morning. Breathe deep and you can smell the carbon monoxide fumes tumbling along Fifth Avenue. On the corner of 5th and 42nd Street, the photochemical smog nibbles at the classical facade of the New York Public Library. The twin stone lions, guardians of knowledge, bask serenely in the lethal sunshine. Moth-eaten pigeons flutter and scramble for scraps among the students and native New Yorkers lounging on the broad steps. An ordinary day, nothing to get excited about. Sad to say that nothing remotely exciting that's happened to the creaky old Miss Ellis, spinster librarian of this parish, in over six decades, not counting that incident on VJ night 1945. There she goes now, slightly stooped, slightly graying hair framing a careworn face, wheeling her cart of books through the stevcom, the blum, 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 clutching an armful of books to her shapeless bosom. Miss Ellis heads for the basement. The iron spiral staircase, so on and so forth and fucking on. Then the fucking ghost shows up. Really frightened now. Lyle, or no Miss Lyle, Miss Ellis turns and staggers on spindly legs between the enclosing walls of books. For a minute, she panics, losing herself in the musty labyrinth. As she turns a corner, almost wets her pants, her wrinkled mouth goes slack. Her eyes go round and glassy with terror. Her gnarled hands clutch each other in supplication. An intense white light bathes her in a ghostly aura. And who can she call?
Who can she call?
I mean, all of the problems, it starts
with... She can call the cops, maybe.
It starts with a bland description
I was trying to make it a little bit more lively.
I really appreciate a bland description of a place that is vaguely familiar to most. Mm-hmm. You don't start a book out like that. Like, that right there is the killer. If it's not a shitty novelization, that's a career killer right there. That is somebody who gets an email back or a letter back that is, we're not interested in your fucking man. Arsenic, big fan of your.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. I got in there and I was like trying to do some stuff and I realized like making the weird ghost sound.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, this doesn't sound like making a ghost sound. I'm going to stop this now.
Of course. And because it's in New York, like Arsenic said, we got to drop the names of streets.
Don't worry about it. We're going to fit the 47th. Yo, let's just name two. If you name two streets to the numbers and you put them together,
you're probably in New York. Hey, you're in New York.
Forget about it.
Hey, if you want to be in New York, you got to just name numbers on streets. Hey.
Don't worry about it. Listen to our bad New York accents. It's fine. Everybody knows what New York sounds like.
This sounds like it's just a Brooklyn accent, right?
Who gives a fucking shit? Get out of here.
We could be in a Bronx, though. We could be in a Bronx and talk like we're in a Bronx.
Where did our dad grow up? Which one was dad from? Dad was in the Bronx,
that was in the Bronx, yeah. And this is the way he talked all the time. He was from the Bronx. And because Brooklyn comes out from the back of your mouth and almost from your throat, from your chest.
I love when he starts doing accents.
Brooklyn, and then the Bronx.
It's fucking hard.
It's like up here. The Bronx is up sort of in your nose.
What about Queens? Can you do a Queens accent? No, I stumped you, didn't I? I don't know. What does Spider-Man sound like? Because that's Queens.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man just sounds fucking normal.
No, Spider-Man's got an accent. Like, yes, yeah, Spider-Man, Tom. What's the guy, that kid's name?
Tom Hiddleston.
No, not Tom Hardy.
Tom Holland.
Yeah. They all start with H. Tom Holland does a Queens accent.
Yeah.
Though I've heard people say it's not all that great, but who cares?
Fucking
cares. Who cares? Fucking Tom Holland's a cute little boy.
But if we're Americans,
I want to hang out with
Americans. That guy doesn't do a good American accent. Get the fuck out of here. Like, who gives a shit?
People hated Hugh Laurie in House.
Nobody wants to do an American accent. American accents are garbage. Listen to my stupid voice work.
You know,
nobody likes American accent.
I just want to hear Hugh Laurie and Benedict Cumberbatch be together doing House and Doctor Strange and having a conversation.
And Benedict Cumberbatch talking about pinglings.
Penguins.
California Faded always keeping us on task, and I love it. He says, it sounds like the start of a Palahniuk story, and it actually does. Only Palahniuk would definitely put in some, like, guys having sex with gravel and, like, shit like that.
Oh,
or, like, wanting to fuck razor blades.
Yeah, no, I've honestly, like,
I love Chuck Palahniuk, dude.
I was like, I can't even with Palahniuk anymore because it's so fucking edgy.
Oh, that's why I love it.
It's so edgy. The guy, have you read The Ghost?
Haunted?
Yeah.
Dude,
fucking Haunted is
I'm fine with it.
It was
very like 2000.
His intestines got pulled out of his asshole.
It was very like 2000 to 2006. Like, that is this weird era. Like, we were talking about at one point, like the gnarliness of like the late 90s, like adult comics, where it's like, yeah, adults can talk about hamsters going up people's butts. Like,
he's the Garth Ennis of writing books.
I think Palahniuk has calmed down a bit, though.
That's cool.
I mean,
I haven't read a Palahniuk
like,
story.
Choke, if you haven't, Choke is a really good book.
I read it. I don't remember.
I like Choke.
That's the guy who does like who's like cons places by choking, right?
And I mean, and Fight Club is a classic, but it's also like a commentary on, you know, masculine toxicity. And
talking about Fight Club, former Quarantine Book Club director David Fincher there.
Yes,
he was Alien.
Yes.
He was
Aliens
3.
Yep, Aliens 3. So let's keep talking about this garbage. So okay,
oh man, it's hot.
I feel like you obviously, sorry, I'm messing with my hair. I feel like you explored this a little more than I did because I did not enjoy my experience of this book whatsoever.
That's the point of this, isn't it? It's to torture ourselves and listen to hot fucking garbage.
What are some of the things, like, so I'm going to say about the narration. I have my notes, so I'm going to look over my notes.
Yeah.
Specifically about the narration, way too many, like, overuse of complete unnecessary adverbs. And that is one of those things as a writer that I've really desperately tried to, like, in myself, but also in others. Like, if there's a fucking
he emoted
like, excitedly.
Yeah,
he shouted exuberantly. Like, get the fucking ly out of there.
Yeah, just say fucking said.
Yeah, yeah, just say said. Make the word disappear. And there's a lot of this unnecessary description of words and dialogue where the dialogue itself, I just got a ba-dong, where the dialogue itself does not appropriately convey the idea.
I'm gonna go on record here and say that I think that if you're attempting to novelize a book, one of the but first of all, if you're attempting to novelize a book or novelize a movie, understand what makes the movie enjoyable.
Okay.
And lay into that. Don't just word for word tell me exactly what that is, because honestly, I could just watch the goddamn movie.
Right. Like, right.
Who out there, okay, is this, do we novelize books for fucking sad people who can't see movies anymore?
I don't mean
for blind people. I mean sad people who live out in the middle of nowhere and can't get to
you ain't got eyeballs. You can't read
a movie theater.
You can't watch my movie? You got to finger my book to read it? Then what the hell are you? You're some kind of subhuman? If you're out there, I truly believe in the idea that we are all capable of amazing things, and that is merely satire. Thank you.
It's 2020, and Ghostbusters came out in 1984. If you haven't had the chance to see fucking Ghostbusters in the past 26 years... No, wait. No, sorry. 36 years. Then maybe it's not, maybe you don't need to.
Novelizations.
Or maybe, like, it's dumb. It's dumb. Was this written, were these the original ones when the book came out, when the movies came out?
And so.
they've just finally gotten around to making audiobooks. They were like, this is the cheapest cash grab we could make.
I was going to say, novelizations have always been the bad LJN of like, books for game, the way, what LJN games were to games.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted just some shitty dude who was desperately like he needed to get that coke fix for 2 weeks from now, he's just going to shit out a crappy book that he can put on his resume, but really he dumps out like before his first joint of the day, but after his first bump, before he gets his coffee.
Do you think that do you think that makes Alan Dean Foster a fucking like piece of shit?
I don't because I think Alan Dean Foster is one of these guys who has established a career beyond novelizations, but also like he's made a name for himself for being
just a novelizing.
Yeah. And that's cool. Like this guy clearly like whatever. I don't even know him from anything else. Like he fucking just whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think like now if somebody said to me, Mr. Rance from the QBC, I need you to write a novelization of Bill Steele, my shit's on it.
Well, yeah, no, look, let's face it.
I'll do it. I'll normal, pour myself out.
Us normal shitheads, if we got opportunity to step into the ring like that and grasp at real stardom.
But also, yeah, I wouldn't need to do that because Real Steel's based on a short story. So,
oh, well.
Didn't know that till last night. Didn't know that till last night. Arsenic says, you know what's surprisingly good novelization of a movie from around the same time period? Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. Something to keep in mind. I've seen Poltergeist many times, but I've never like read the book. It was also oddly forgettable to me. But then says, any movie are movie novelizations even a thing anymore? Do they just adapt everything from an existing novel?
That's a good story, like a good question. Yeah, there's novelizations. I listened to a novelization of Winter Soldier a couple months ago. I think about it, like 2 years ago.
I also think sometimes, too, they're starting to do novelizations that are more age-appropriate shifts as well. So, like, if I'm wrong, like, the Winter Soldier stuff...
That was definitely a kid's young adult,
it's like,
right?
It's, like, shifted down to a young adult level where it's, like, not that, you know...
I mean, I remember listening to that and going, this is fine.
Yeah, I mean, young adult stuff is great for anybody. You know, I'm starting to get to the point where I despise even the separation of adult and young adult, because truth be told, I find young adult oftentimes tackles things with more subtlety and panache than adult book, and quote-unquote
adult books. See this previous episode,
Warhammer 40K, Attack of the Necron. you know, and that's what this was a scene-for-scene translation. You had mentioned the backstories of the characters, and there's one character whose backstory I actually did.
Was it Egon?
Was.
You know what? I fucking hated Egon's backstory.
Why? Tell me.
Because it turned him into a fucking weird freak. No, Egon's not like a Egon's okay. Egon's intellectual and antisocial and socially awkward. Egon is, it turned Egon into a weird, like, it also turned him into a weird sex pervert.
Yes, I will say
it was like he was like he watches people.
Yes, that was the one. That was like, the one. He's when everybody else was like, I think the phrase was something along the lines of when everybody else was taking off each other's underwear, Egon was watching with binoculars.
Yeah,
I gotta find it because it's so fucking terrible.
I hated it. Like, why couldn't Egon just be a misunderstood intellectual? Why did he have to be a like? They're like, guess what? All the Ghostbusters are weird deviants, except for Winston. And it's like, and it's almost like they were kind of overcompensating for all the shitty stuff that's been done to Winston as far as like representation over the years. Like, you know, all the times when they left Winston out of promotional materials and all of that other shit, that like Winston was the guy in Ghostbusters 1 that you gave a shit about.
And yeah, he was your everyman, right? He was the one who, I mean, I always love that line. One of the best lines is, you know what, the paycheck line, right? Like,
I'll do anything you say, I'll believe anything you say as long as there's a steady paycheck.
Right, that right there, yeah. Brilliant line, great line.
Tell him about the Twinkie. He's also got some of the best line delivery in that movie because he's playing a straight character to these characters that functionally couldn't really, they're still portrayed as fairly realistic.
Yeah.
But they couldn't really exist in the real world.
Oh God, no! No, like, they're all these overblown caricatures.
I gotta tell you, I think that if Belushi had been in Ghostbusters as was originally planned, Belushi was supposed to be Venkman originally.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think if Belushi had been Venkman, Ghostbusters wouldn't have been a success. I do think that the one thing that Bill Murray did was he toned down what Venkman was from, like, this weird cartoony character.
Oh, so Venkman would have just been railing people coke. In the streets.
Oh yeah,
just bumping a whole coke. Huge yeah. lines of snow and just like smashing.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. Like, I can't. Like, sorry, there might be a ghost in my house.
Are you gonna bust because it makes you feel good?
No, no, dude, I'm serious. There's weird noises around me. I don't know what's happening. Bro.
I hope a ghost finds you and fucking kills you.
I don't believe in ghosts, dude. Okay? I'm just saying there were weird noises around here. And on theme, I was like, oh, maybe it's a ghost. I don't actually fucking believe in ghosts, dude. That's bullshit.
You're bullshit. Look, bullshit. I have something really important that this made me
think yeah.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. I'd like to play something.
Please do it.
Arsenic says you summoned ghosts, but
good.
Whenever
good.
I
let
think,
him let him fucking take me down to hell.
Whenever I think of
2000, eat shit.
Whenever I think of
2020, I mean,
we're gonna spend the next 4 minutes listening to a phenomenal song. We're gonna talk about it too.
Oh, cool! I can't wait
because it's more important than Ghostbusters book.
Can I? I'm gonna be behind on it also.
It's okay.
As usual.
It's okay.
Ray cool. Parker Jr. Here we go, let's go.
We're going to talk about
here we go.
Bustin', which is a nice remix of original theme.
I love it. I love it so much.
I do love that, like, that this guy who did this was like, it's a hot bass line. I just got to tweak it a little bit.
You mean Huey Lewis's bass line?
Yeah. How awkward was this original movie? I mean, this original video.
It was great. I can't tell you how many times I watched it on MTV. It's amazing.
I like how he played.
Why was he playing a drumstick? Or whatever the hell that is.
No, he was playing it like a recorder.
Really?
Yeah, he was playing it like a recorder, like a trumpet, too.
Okay.
I like how he just slaps. Look at him just... No, let's... Can we go back?
Okay.
Look at him slap at nothing. Did you see him slap at nothing?
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't... I think he's swinging at those green screen sheet ghosts.
Right, but he doesn't know where one of them is.
And I don't remember the original video for this being really awkward. I remember having a bedroom, like a living room and a bedroom that look like this, that are all neon. Like that. Yeah.
Look at that microphone, by the way. That shit is banging. But I bet it's hot, too. Like, I bet he's, like, getting close to it, and he's like, ah!
Okay. As we're talking about, we've got Boston going on in the background here.
Yeah.
Which we all know Huey Lewis sued Ray Parker Jr. for, I want a new drug. He said that,
Fuck you, Huey Lewis. You know what? Like, honestly, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you old-looking asshole. You old, dumb-looking ass. Because Huey Lewis is dumb-looking. He's a big fucking dumb brick of a human. I love Huey Lewis, but fucking shut up. This is Ghostbusters Huey Lewis in the fucking news. What are you? What are you?
Also, we need to talk about the fact that there's a sequence that I need you to go back to where Slimer is flying over top of Ray Stantz while Ray Stantz is in bed. And Ray Stantz's face that he's making is the blowjob ghost face.
Oh, yeah,
and they have cut Slimer into that scene. So technically, is Slimer watching...
Are you saying this is a more accurate version of the book as represented into video?
Yes, absolutely.
Because they're talking about everything is in your bed and freaky ghosts. Also, busting all the time.
Busting.
You're going to sleep in your bed.
I love it. Hey, just to address the chat real quick.
Yeah.
Fly, yeah. If you want to post the link in the chat, please do.
Please do. I got to be honest. This book is, other than saying it's terrible, I don't know what other foot I can stand on to say, just don't fucking read it. Like, there is no redeeming quality to this book as I experienced it whatsoever. Perhaps a little bit of backstory. But it was a slog. It was a slog and a hog. It was a.
Is that the opposite of a romp and a stomp?
A romp and a stomp. Yep.
Man.
And Isabel says, I like to play on Ghostbusters and Natural. And I think about actually the play on Ghostbusters in Evil Dead.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
The Ghost Breakers.
Yes.
Yep. Man, which is really funny because they never fight ghosts ever in Ash versus Evil Dead. It's always demons. So why are they the Ghost Breakers? I think somebody even brings that up. Can we also talk as we're doing this? Ray Santiago's the guy who plays Pablo in Ash versus Evil Dead. His Instagram game is on point.
Yeah.
I love watching that exceptionally handsome and chiseled man walk around in his underwear and just seeing pictures of Ray Santiago in like Speedos. Does it for me, man.
I need to ask. See here Corporal Fly's name on this. Corporal Fly, did you create this? One of our
That's what Corporal Fly said.
I didn't
he
realize
did a Ghostbusters
that
cover. Yeah. Are we gonna watch this?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Again, I'm watching it a little bit late. Can you do share screen so I can see it in real time?
You can't?
Okay. Alright, so I'm going to not be commenting in real time, unfortunately. I'm ready for this, though. Tell me about it. Like, are we looking at Corporal Fly hanging out in his bed doing a cover? Is it like...
No. It's all video. It's all video on the screen. Like, video from the game, from the 2009 game. But to like music that he created, it's like guitars and synth and like programmed drums.
I'm about it.
It does slap. It does slap. A way better contribution to this podcast than anything that was fucking written in the fucking novelization of these bullshit books.
Man, fuck these books. Like,
and he's got the key shift in there, the octave shift. I dig
it. But it's cool. Wish I could hear it.
I dig it.
Feeling,
you know what,
really
Corporal Fly?
Our own podcast.
Corporal Fly, a hot, hot slapping cover. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Corporal Fly. I'll check it out after the podcast.
Isabel,
is over.
Have a wonderful rest of your. I'm so glad that you had a good time. Like
I'm glad too.
Insightful as to how wacky Ghostbusters is, because yeah, it is fucking wacky.
this fucking pair of books makes me want to, like, it makes me want to go back and watch the Filmation Ghostbusters. It makes me want to go back and watch the real Ghostbusters.
The real Ghosters?
The real Ghosters. It makes me want to do anything but watch Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good. They're not good. I think one of the other things that can't just slap words onto something and presume that that makes it literally valid.
No, like, no, like, absolutely not.
There is a lot wrong with the book. From the point, I mean, enough to, again, as we said, to make someone stop reading. And the biggest problem here is I think that no care was taken in any regard to A, separate it from the movie, but B, to like actually capitalize a little bit more human on what was in the movie. I think about like the original Star Wars novelization, right? Like, and even what we start, one of the things that we started this podcast, which Alan Dean Foster, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, Sphincter of the Mind's Eye, is that there was a great deal of, even though it wasn't all that great, like humanization of some of the characters in it that we didn't chance to. I didn't feel that whatsoever in this novelization.
No,
whatsoever.
No. Excuse me as I'm burping. It's problematic in its own ways that are even different from the problematicness that it brings out in the script itself.
Yes.
Which it did, I mean, as I said, it did a disservice to Ghostbusters because it made me dislike aspects of the characters that I knew existed.
Like the overt
creepy sexuality of Peter Venkman,
right?
The weird, whatever the weird stuff is that they're saying about Egon, you know, being like this guy who like watched other people and took notes on their sexual activities.
Weird. Actually, I completely erased that out of my mind, and then when you re-mentioned that, fuck Egon, he sucks.
Yeah, and that's okay. Who's your favorite Ghostbuster? In not counting all of this bullshit,
my favorite Ghostbuster was always Egon.
Me too. Too,
absolutely, man. Absolutely. My favorite was always Egon. You know, I thought Egon was sort of like the, before you had Winston, was almost the moral center, because you had Venkman, who was this complete con man asshole. You're absolutely right. And then you had Stance, who was just way too excited about everything to have a logical, like, pathos-based perspective.
Yeah,
and Egon was
a child.
He was a child. And Egon was surprisingly down-to-earth emotionally, way more than he was in the novelization.
The only time you see Egon lose his mind in the first movie is when Peck shuts down the system, and he's like, this was your fault. And Egon's like, are you kidding me? The science was sound, like this was all great until you came here. And so Egon goes after him. And it's the only time that Egon loses his cool in the whole movie.
Egon actually reminds me a bit of an Adam Savage.
Yeah. Well, I think he's more of a Jamie Hyneman.
Think so? Race Dance. Unlikable?
I don't think he's unlikable. I don't think Jamie Hyneman's unlikable.
Oh, okay.
I think Jamie Hyneman is just a strange dude who has a certain way of carrying himself and doesn't like bullshit. And like Ray Stantz is more the Adam Savage. Ray Stantz is all over the place, and I'm so excited about fucking science, I love it.
I honestly could smoke 1,000 cigarettes during this podcast, so I can channel that. Because he made smoking a cigarette look so good, didn't he?
I know. And back in the day,
it was always, oh my gosh, just like rocking those cigarettes in there. Like every moment you saw when he had that cigarette in his mouth when he's working on Ecto-1, hot. Yeah. When he's in the elevator, hot. Like, let me just watch you smoke that cigarette.
When he sees Slimer for the first time.
Yep.
You know, it's all good. It's so cool.
Corporal Fly in the chat right now is also revisiting Ghostbusters music. He's revisiting, I Believe It's Magic. Hey.
Corporal Fly, I'm gonna need you to go skip all this bullshit Ghostbusters music and go straight to the real Ghostbusters theme, which is the Run DMC theme Ghostbusters 2.
Case in point, I would like to for a minute turn to our youth. Bob and I Yeah, our youth being 10 years.
Did you fucking find it?
Nope.
Did you find it?
Nope. Oh. I wish I could. Okay. Bob, because we never recorded it. We just had
the background music.
Bob and I were, as part of an industrial band that we were in, we covered Ghostbusters. And I will tell you, it was a fucking slapping cover.
We covered it live on Halloween.
Yep.
Once. On Halloween.
And...
because that's how badass we were.
And the breakdown, was the Run DMC rap. And it was fucking, like,
yep.
To this day, that's like the proudest thing that I think we've ever written.
I can't.
The nice slide into the rap part, like the change in time signature with a fucking, with programmed drums and then back into the regular time signature.
Oh, it was so good. Man, first of all, you programmed the shit out of that song.
Thanks, man. I know. I wanted you to compliment me.
You're a great programmer.
I wanted you to compliment me. Please.
You're a great streamer.
Can you tell me?
Hey, could you give me some hot music here, bro, in the background? I need to write you a letter. Dear Violence Obscene, also known as Rance, my brother, my fellow streamer, my total womb mate, I want to tell you that I love you. I think you're a talented man. You're a talented man who's a great music drum programmer.
Thank you.
A great streamer.
Thank you.
A great teacher.
Thank you.
A great Englishman. And I don't mean like a man that comes from English. I mean a man who talks about English and teaches it and understands it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I think you're a great blonde man.
Thank you.
I think you're a great tattoo companion.
Thank you. You too.
I think you have great taste in World War II soldiers' outfits. And I love the fact that you've got the second best Star Wars movie in the background behind you.
Best Star Wars movie is to the right.
I also want you to know that you're just a beautiful soul. You're encouraging. You're lovely. And fuck this Ghostbusters
movie. Fuck it. Fuck this Ghostbusters series of books, dude. I knew too when we had started that it was going to be. I think I knew going into it that it was going to be a slog and a hog.
Do you think that this was the hardest one for you so
yes.
far?
Oh, 100%. Even getting
so funny.
Even determining that I was going to stop reading because I did. Like I believe there is a limit on accepting badness. And,
yeah,
but I believe when a book finally begins like making you uncomfortable, that it's okay to stop.
I don't think that I've ever gotten. Like, this one was hard. I don't think it was the hardest one that we've done so far, but it was pretty hard to the point where I had to blast through Ghostbusters 2 really fast.
And not remember it. Like, is there anything you could say that is remotely redeeming about, not the narration, but about the books themselves? Like, that you could say, this is a reason to...
Yeah, if you've lived under a rock and you don't have access to a television and you've never seen Ghostbusters 1 or 2, maybe it might be worth it. I'd honestly say maybe just go find a comic book that does it. Maybe ask like your weird Aunt Mildred to recount Ghostbusters for you, and it'd probably be better than reading these hot trash books. I got to say that Ghostbusters 2 reminded me of how not good a movie Ghostbusters 2 is.
Ghostbusters, yeah. Viggo!
Man, can we talk about...
I love that guy. I just want to turn this into... I just want this to now descend. You realize that you didn't even need... But you did. But because we have nothing of value to say for it, right?
Okay. So in the second, in Ghostbusters... Let's move on to Ghostbusters.
Viggo!
I was gonna try to get two episodes worth of content out of this,
but I don't even think
that we can.
Viggo!
So, like, we may just have to jump to actually having an episode next week, and I'm sorry. But it's cool, because I got something hot picked out for everybody anyway. The climax of the second book takes place over the span of 15 minutes in real time in listening. And it ends, and you're like, oh, by the way, spoiler alert, does anybody remember what happens to the painting of Viggo at the end of Ghostbusters 2?
Give me a second. All I remember is that disappears from the painting. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember.
Yeah, yeah. They cover it in slime. Because that's how they beat everything at the end of the movie, is they just spray it with slime. They spray it with happy slime, both him and Ray, because Ray gets
big. That's right.
And all the paint slides off the painting.
Is that a weirdly like sexual Have you ever thought that ectoplasm? I was actually doing some research. Ectoplasm before this. What I did come across was the suggestion that ectoplasm is in itself. If you go back and see the read the original text in which it may have been mentioned, that it's also like sexually related, like that it is. Ectoplasm is this fluid that is in its own regard reproductive, suggestively reproductive.
They actually do. That is one of the things that they do a good job of in this. That's the thing that I'll tell you makes a redeeming aspect of this book. In some of the ways that they fail in the pseudoscience, they actually really explain how the ghost equipment, like ghost catching equipment, works. Like, I didn't understand that the proton packs create a charged field around them. That if you're around the Ghostbusters and you do not have a proton pack on, that it makes you feel ill because it creates a kind of a protective barrier. But once you turn your proton pack on, that feeling goes away. So like the scene in the elevator where they switch on the Ray's pack, in the movie, it's just this funny thing where they like scoot away from him because they're afraid it's going to explode. But in the book, they talk about the fact that they're doing that because they're afraid it's going to explode. But also they start to feel weird and sick. And Egon's like, we have to turn our packs on.
So it's almost like the brown note of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yeah. They also.
Do you think there is a basis in science for that, too?
Maybe, possibly. I don't know. I don't know enough about science and like particle acceleration and nuclear collision to know whether or not that's real.
I need you to fucking research it, Nick.
Bro. You know what I did? I listened.
You
to
finished
the
rest
books.
Of the fucking books. I completed the homework today. When you were in the car with me, and you were like, "Man, I can't wait." I was like, "Yeah, I can't wait to fucking tell you and finish these books." but here's the thing. I knew too. I knew that if I told you that. But I didn't also like, I didn't like back up my ass with other stuff that I wouldn't have had much to talk about because I did. I finished the first book, the first of the two novelizations ever. Done.
Ghostbusters 2, they spray the painting with slime. Yeah. The paint slides off of it and it's a picture of the Ghostbusters underneath with baby Oscar. Dana's baby, which we still don't know if that's somebody else's baby or if it's Peter Venkman.
Was that
baby.
In the movie? Because I
yeah, it's totally movie. In the movie. In fact, hold on a second, bro. Stay right there. Don't move.
Can you get me a link to watch?
I'm not even going to get you a link to watch. Don't worry about it. Just here.
You gonna get me a link to watch? Oh.
Hey man, I know you can't see all the Ghostbusters in this.
No, I can. Only, I can really see great, the ones that really matter. Great. I can see the ones that matter because right now, if we didn't know what it was, it looks like.
Hanging out with me. The Ghostbusters is hanging out with me. Naked. We're having a naked Ghostbuster orgy over here. I love you guys. Love you, Ghosty Busties. Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray is your younger self. I love it. Oh, can we also talk about the fact that Ernie Hudson seems to have not aged in the past like 30
Ernie Hudson's
years.
Just got a little wider, right? He's just gotten a little wider. But other than that, he's looking pretty good.
Tell him about the Twinkie.
I like that California Faded also in here with those hot takes. He's always keeping us in line. And by that, I thank you, sir. The change in the old to the future by the print. California Faded, I think you may be putting
it. I don't know what that means,
it's,
man.
But you know what? It's way more logical than any of the bullshit in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, man. Ghostbusters 2 is a hot, trash,
you remember
garbage
from
trip.
I desperately tried to find these online. I could not find them. Mm-hmm. I looked on eBay because I wanted to order one. Remember when Hardee's, Roy Rogers, were promoting Ghostbusters and they sold the little Ghostbusters sound things that like you press and it would make like they were gray and red and white
and
black.
Our parents insane with those.
Oh
things.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Come on, that was back when the fucking when toys in a Happy Meal were the shit.
You know what, dude? Okay, also let's talk about the fact that kids are getting gypped nowadays. When I buy Captain Crunch for my kids, and I buy Frosted Flakes for my kids. Why is there no motherfucking toy at the bottom of that?
Is there
cereal?
None?
They don't put toys in them anymore.
Why?
Because I don't know. It's bullshit.
Because I got an episode for kids right now. Right now. Like, I'm going to make an episode for kids right now.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All
right.
All right,
kids. Kids, you little fucking turds. All right? If you continue choking on fucking toys in boxes, get fucked.
That's because that's it. That's why. It's your fault. It's your fucking fault that we don't have anything nice anymore.
You're shoving fucking toys into your mouth. Like, oh, it's a toy with metal pieces and little wheels. I got to
eat this toy.
I got to put it in my
tasty.
Fucking throat.
I wonder what this tastes like.
Oh, stop it.
I bet it tastes like fucking plastic, you idiot.
Stop it with your pica bullshit, kids.
God, kids are so fucking stupid. Can't wait till we do our next kids episode.
I know, right? Oh, God, I need to get that out of me.
God, Corporal Fly, fuck you, man.
Imagine choking on the Chex Quest demo.
I fucking loved that thing. That thing was awesome.
Me too.
Awesome
well,
as shit.
I have nothing. I got to be honest with you. I have nothing else I need to say about this. Other than the fact that it sucks.
Ghostbusters 2, it's a hot load of trash from beginning to end. You didn't really need to listen to it because it was like sitting on the toilet for 3 hours and no poop comes out because you're constipated, and then you stand up and you shit your pants.
That's oddly specific.
That's what it felt like, man. It was embarrassing and humiliating.
Do you feel like that this might have actually been a better value without Ghostbusters?
Yeah, 100%, because it made me realize that Ghostbusters 2, I have fond memories of it because I only remember, like, I haven't ever gone back to it because I knew it wasn't great, but
also unnecessary. It's a completely unnecessary addition into the,
why we didn't need sequels. Like, as a little kid, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking,
yeah,
over
I'll go
here,
fucking
like,
check out this,
I'm pissing my pants over Ghostbusters.
I'm gonna check out this fucking Ghostbusters 2 that's going to the movie theater.
Dude, they even talk in Ghostbusters 2 about the upgraded ghost doing this in this symbol, which, let's be honest, I don't need you to explain it to me, but they don't even explain it well. They're just like, it's a ghost holding up two fingers. Why the fuck's the ghost holding up two fingers? You could at least say because the Ghostbusters felt victorious now that they were back in business.
Right.
And so it was doing like the victory sign, or that like they want everybody to get along. So it's the peace sign, not, hey, guess what? This is the second Ghostbusters.
Maybe they should have done that.
Maybe they should have been like this.
Right. That would have been a badass.
Hey, welcome to New York. This is Ghost flipping a bird.
Hey, we're from the Bronx, and we like to flip birds.
No, it's a fucking movie. This is a movie about the fact that nobody fucking likes each other, and then we're all mad. It's also in that era where we wanted to bust on New York for everybody being pissed off at each other until some people dropped some buildings on a bunch of people, and we all decided that we all had to be nice.
Yeah. All of a sudden, New York was the best place in the world.
Don't get me wrong, man. I shouldn't undermine what was a national tragedy on tragedies here at the quarantine book club.
9/11
was terrible, man. It's ingrained in our mind, and it actually is. It is a tragedy that we as adults now, there's sort of this stopgap between us and millennials, I think, where they're the first sort of generation that doesn't remember 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was fucking 18. So like,
yeah, I know.
And I know, I mean, you know, you were definitely like,
I was
35,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But like, that was the thing. We were all loved busting on New York and how shitty New York was. How mean
fuck
New Yorkers
Bronx.
Are. And then it was the whole fucking joke of this movie and book. And then we're like, hey, guess what? I guess we can all be nice to each other sometimes.
We're all
it's
good
fine.
People. We're all good people to each other. We're all kind people.
We all bust ghosts together. You know what? They even cut out the part in the book where, unless I just don't remember it, where Lewis Tully thinks he's the fucking hero because...
Oh, right.
Because they smashed the Statue of Liberty into the building and then the slime goes away.
I forgot about that.
There's the art museum, the New York Museum of Art.
Forgot about that, yes.
Metropolitan Museum of Art is covered in a casing of slime. So they have to use... positive vibes and the statue.
Why
of
do they
got to
put slime down over everything?
Because
the river.
Slimed
can
me
you
in
confirm
the first one.
Was the river in this?
Yes, yes. It's the major plot point in the movie. There's a river of slime underneath New York that comes, it's rising because the river of slime is being created by the negative energy of all the people in New York. But the Ghostbusters take it and they put it through a little zip, zap, zap, put it in some backpacks, carry them around, zap things with the positive slime.
What
by
was
playing
it?
By playing higher and higher. They give it a little zip, zap.
A little bit of what?
A little bit of zip, zap.
A little bit of what?
Zip, zap.
A little bit of what?
Zip, zap.
There was an Onion like, headline. Rest of country temporarily feels deep affection for...
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Exactly. It's like, you know, there's just that little difference in there. It's the dun 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 dun. And mine has the dun 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 dun. And that's the difference.
Well...
Different song completely. Right, Huey Lewis?
Fuck Huey.
Man, do you have more to show me? Do you have more cool things to show off?
I got nothing.
Man, I'm sorry that I pissed off everybody tonight by saying...
No, the never-ending story that it's...
The never-ending story is bad. I regret it. I regret it. Love what you love. If you love Ghostbusters 2, love it. It's fine. I don't think there's a terrible way to go. Look, I like the fucking Masters of the Universe movie, even though it's fucking hot trash.
It was like, garbage. Frank Langella, the only good part, and he was fucking ass.
It was made by Canon. I mean, Canon was known for making garbage. They should have known right off the bat. Like,
A little bit of what?
Trash.
A little bit of what?
Zip zap. There's a little bit of zip zap.
Well, so what are we going into next week?
Okay, so friends, I'm going to put a link in the chat here real quick. So we're going into my favorite month of the year.
Yeah.
And my favorite month of the year is October. Holy crap, I lost the link that I needed.
Well,
Give me 1 second. Keep going.
And if cool. you look at me over here, I'm trying to find somebody cool that we're going to go, okay? We're going to go see somebody cool when we're...
That is great. That is not what I want. Get the fuck back. God damn it. all right, so next week, I have to pause this. We are going to do a little thing that is I've discovered recently. I love Halloween month. I love the month of October, the Halloween month. And so as you know, VO and I are doing a special stream, which is the cast of our Evil Dead the Musical every year. We get together and we do Evil Dead the Musical, and thanks COVID, we can't this year. So we're streaming a game show, which is kind of like Double Dare, but with blood and cursing. And you can you feel free to join us. It's free to join. If you donate, you'll get to spray some people with fake blood and do some other fun things. So check it out. That's like October 10th and October 17th. But before that, for the Quarantine Book Club for next week's episode, we're going to take a step back in history, and we are going to look at Friday the 13th, Mother's Day, by Eric Morse. And what this is there are a series of Friday the 13th young adult books that are, they're the Camp Crystal Lake books. And basically, it's a series, it's kind of like, I don't know, a Sweet Valley High, but for Friday the 13th.
Which I think is such a cool idea.
Club
such a cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you a link to, a YouTube channel called the 80s Slasher Librarian. And this guy has done us a great service, which is to find all of these hard to find old books. And he's just gone ahead and read them for us.
I love it.
So in the chat, here's the link. You get to follow along for free this month.
Yes.
You don't have to pay for shit on Amazon.
Yes, don't fucking pay for it.
You don't have to order a shitty book. You get this crap for free. So take about 3 hours out of your week. Listen along. And we're going to talk about this. And what we're going to do is every week this month, we're going to highlight a different slasher horror genre that are the same style of young adult books.
I love that. What a cool idea. I actually think this sounds like a lot of fun and an enjoyable way to progress through Halloween.
Absolutely, man.
Yep.
I love that month. I love it so much. The month of Halloween.
Yep. Love it. Well, I tell you what, I think we are done here. What do you agree?
I agree.
I'm done. We're fucking done. We're finished.
Yeah,
fuck
out of here,
the
man.
Ghostbusters.
You know what? Don't watch those movies anymore. Don't watch the. Don't throw away your fucking Ghostbuster toilet terror toy.
So I hear we are going to.
I love you. By the way,
love you.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
And this has been the Quarantine Book Club.
Fuck the Ghostbusters.